This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Rom. You've started seeing the commercials, which means it's officially back to school season, and at the University of Michigan, some striking student teachers might actually lose their jobs. Here with me to break it all down are reporters from the Detroit News, Kim Kozlowski. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Hannah McKay. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
So this has been the summer of strikes, with most attention being paid to the ongoing Hollywood writers and actors strike. But there have been strikes at the University of Michigan as well. Now U of M is looking to replace its striking workers. So let's start with a little background on the strike itself. Hannah, who exactly is striking and what do they want?
So the union that's on strike is called the Graduate Employees Organization, and it's made up of graduate student instructors and graduate student staff assistants at the University of Michigan. It's around 2,300 people, and they're responsible for teaching a lot of undergrad classes, usually the bigger intro classes. And their main ask, that's been the most contentious point of negotiations, is higher wages.
Okay. So, Kim, what has been the university's reaction to this strike? And why are they now saying that they're going to replace these workers?
Well, the two sides have been bargaining since November for a new contract, which expired in May. The Graduate Employees Assistance Organization, rather, they call themselves GEO. They went on strike in March. They've been out for nearly 5 months. This is the longest work stoppage of this union since they formed in 1974. You know, just also as a little background, it's not clear exactly how many are striking, but the university's response is that they've been trying to bargain in good faith, but they have been bargaining for a long time. There have been 43 meetings between the two sides, including two meetings this week, but no progress has been made. GEO has said that, you know, there have been issues that they're not meeting their demands. They do want a salary increase along with a lot of other issues. They put an offer that was one of their most significant on the table last week, but they only gave GEO 48 hours to respond, and it has since expired. And that's when they sent out a memo this week outlining their responsibilities and expectations as fall classes begin on August 28th. And that included they would be replaced if they did not fulfill their expectations.
So we're really getting into crunch time. I mean, it's August. We're getting close to the end of August. Hannah, does the university have a plan on how to maintain the classes if they fire the teachers?
They've indicated that they are working on a plan, and there are contingencies in place. I have not been made aware of any specifics yet, but Kim might know a little more than me.
The university didn't outline a lot of specifics other than that they've been, you know, working with deans to develop contingency plans in the event that a contract is not reached by August 28th.
What has been the reaction to this strike? As far as you know, has public sympathy been more on the side of the university or with the workers?
Based at least on anecdotal evidence, you know, from students that I've interviewed on campus recently, it seems that most would like the strike to end before classes start to minimize disruption to classes. Some, you know, understand why it's going on and that it's important and the things GEO is asking for are important, while others do seem to think that or at least not understands as much why it's still going on and why they haven't accepted an offer yet.
Kim, can you sort of paint a picture for us of if this strike does go on into the school year and if these student teachers lose their jobs, how big of an impact is this going to have on the University of Michigan?
That's hard to say. I did talk with experts who suggested that it might be hard to replace 2,300 graduate student instructors at University of Michigan. Certainly, if they continue to strike, there would be disruption inevitably. How widespread that would be is really remains to be seen in terms of who might continue to strike and others who may not. It's really unclear, but there are a significant number of graduate student instructors who are on strike, and we'll just have to see what happens as we get closer to the first day of fall classes on August 28th.
You mentioned the sort of offer that the university gave to the union and gave them like 48 hours to respond to. Hannah, does it look like the two sides are coming closer to an agreement? Is there potential to revisit that offer? How are things looking going forward?
Well, after they received that offer, leadership of the GO indicated that it was as close to a settlement as they've been, and they are taking it very seriously and set themselves a 1 week deadline to either vote to ratify the offer or vote on a counter proposal. But it does seem like the university is sticking to their guns and that the offer did expire on the 48-hour deadline that they set last Friday.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Kim, you cover higher education for the Detroit News. Are strikes at colleges and universities something that you're seeing more of recently? Are there any other schools we should be watching for disgruntled students or disgruntled employees?
Not at the moment that we've been covering. There was a strike at Oakland University a few years ago that did seep into, I believe, the first day or two of classes, and the labor issues were resolved fairly quickly. I know at University of Michigan, both sides do say they want to reach an agreement. So we'll just have to see if they can do that in these next few weeks.
Kim, last week you spoke about an activist group that called on new WSU President Kimberly Andrews Espy to end the use of dogs in medical research. Attorney General Dana Nessel even issued an opinion that the Department of Health and Human Services should create rules for the humane treatment of animals that are in line with federal standards. Can you tell us about what is going on here, and has there been any progress on those new rules?
I don't believe there has been much progress yet on the rules yet. I believe the activist group took the opportunity to elevate their concerns on the second day of the new Wayne State University president's day in office. She did not immediately respond to them, although the university did issue a statement that indicated, they were taking, things seriously, but this would be the only, I believe it's the only research case where they do experiments for human health, heart health, that does involve dogs. A lot of universities do use rats, insects, sometimes other animals in their work to find solutions to human health. And that is a contentious issue among many people in the community.
What brought up this issue? I would imagine this is something WSU has been doing for a while. So what sort of triggered all of this?
I actually wasn't the reporter that went to cover the live protests because I had another interview simultaneously. But I suspect that they were trying to get the attention of the new president. It's been a longstanding issue. And I think they're trying to make change. Whether that'll happen remains to be seen. I know that the group had cited some data on some dogs having died in the process of some of the research. So that may have been among their concerns, along with just in general, how they feel the animals were treated. I remember a few years ago, we did report a story, this was quite a few years ago, about how even University of Michigan, and their training has used animals to show some like nurses how to save a life of someone when it's a crisis situation. And I know that universities feel like we need to have some sort of mechanism for training as well as research, so we can make sure we're coming up with ways to find solutions for human health or training in life-saving procedures. However, there are definitely people in the community who feel that that's unethical. So there's that tension between the two sides.
Before we head out, I want to move away from schools to hospitals. Hannah, you had a piece on Detroit area hospitals and price transparency. What's going on there?
Basically, there's a national nonprofit called Patient Rights Advocate, and they were kind of very influential in getting what's called the hospital price transparency rule enacted. I believe it was first enacted or began to be enforced in 2021, so it's been a few years now. And the goal of the rule is for hospitals to provide two things to the general public. The first is a machine readable file, which just means it has to be in certain formats, that contains the pricing information for common products and services that they provide across different health insurance plans that they accept. And the second thing is a shoppable platform online where, you know, patients or just members of the general public can click around on this platform and look at common services, like how much a C-section would cost or something, whether or not you stay overnight in the hospital, that kind of stuff, based on their health insurance plans. And so this nonprofit tries to see how well hospitals are complying with this rule. And they survey about 2,000 hospitals nationwide about twice a year to see if they are complying. And they found that of the Michigan hospitals that they surveyed, which was, I believe, 56, not many, about 23% were in full compliance. And of the Metro Detroit hospitals that were not in full compliance, they deny this and say that they are complying with the federal rule. And the issue is that the rule is enforced by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, and they do not make their enforcement records public until they've issued fines for hospitals, which is the very last step in enforcing these rules. So no fines have been issued to any Michigan hospitals as of a few weeks ago.
Is this something that people are looking into to improve the transparency, or is this something that is kind of like, well, maybe we'll give them a fine, maybe we won't, and we'll move on?
The CMS does look into this and monitor a couple hundred hospitals every month. I think they're able to, you know, look into that. And they have issued fines over the last 2 years to, I believe, 7 hospitals across the country. So there is enforcement happening. And the reason I think outside like nonprofits like Patient Rights Advocate are looking into it is because the end goal would be for all the hospitals to provide both the shoppable platform and these machine readable files. And ideally then, you know, developers could take those machine readable files and turn them into applications or websites for people to use to price shop around their local hospitals, figure out where to go, where's cheapest for them. And so that's the end goal.
Kim Kozlowski and Hannah McKay are reporters for the Detroit News. Kim, Hannah, thank you so much for joining me here today on Mishmash.
Thank you for inviting us.
Anytime.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearn Zagare Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to wdet.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.